Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF. Yesterday we were successful, actually, in guessing our mystery guest. And a day later, the mystery guest does indeed join us. Former wide receiver for your New England Patriots, Malcolm Mitchell, joins us on the Harbor One Hotline right now. Malcolm, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Terrific. Perfect guy to talk to because we've been discussing Tom Brady, and we've been discussing Tom Brady having trouble for some reason connecting with young receivers, getting them on the same page. And we look back at his 20-year career, and he seemed to have difficulty, or they had difficulty with him doing that. You were one guy that did not. You seemed to connect and communicate and get it figured out with Brady. Why?
Yeah, no, you can hear me, but I can't hear anything.
Uh-oh.
Can you hear me now, Malcolm? All right, let's redial him up, Tyler. Let's try it again.
It's a great question, though. I want to see if you can ask that same question in about 10 seconds.
Good luck.
I can't do it in 10 seconds.
Come on, let me see. Let's just. Well, you did.
You can give me an example of it. 10 seconds. Go ahead.
Brady struggled in the past with young wide receivers. He didn't with you. Why?
There you go. Why?
Wow, look at you. You're a quick study there, Lou. You're a quick study.
You learned
from watching me.
I learned from Dan Patrick. I went back and listened
to that interview we had with Dan. It took all the coaching points.
Yeah. Dan asks questions sometimes with like four words, five words.
When you ask a question, make it open-ended and short.
And then when he's interviewing like Barkley always says to Dan Patrick, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm. What does it mean? Nobody cares about your opinion. That's what he says.
What do you think? What do you want? All right, we'll see if we can get Malcolm Mitchell back on the line. But he was one of those guys that for some reason was able to connect with Tom Brady. And last year, none of those young receivers could do it.
Do you think he knows the reason?
I don't know. That's why you asked the question. Hopefully you get the answer, right?
What do you think he says? It's anticipation. Well, it's just attention to detail.
I'm smart. How about that?
Yeah.
The other guys are dumb.
When Tom Brady told me to go 14 yards, I went 14.
I went 14 yards.
Yeah. I went 14 yards.
Yes, we built trust because I executed. I didn't screw up. If I did, I didn't screw up twice.
All right, so well, I guess we got problems with his phone line. Is that the issue here, Tyler? We got problems? I think we got problems.
Yeah, he's trying to patch him through, and something's getting lost there. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, when we get to him, we'll get to him. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
2 days in a row.
Hello.
Our mystery guest is truly
a mystery.
Truly a mystery.
Hello.
Hey, we could talk about sauce fights again.
No.
No, I'm good.
No, he's good. He's ready. Go ahead.
Let's try it again. Let's try Malcolm Mitchell again. Malcolm, can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
There we go. Terrific. So the question I was asking you was, why were you able to connect so quickly as a young receiver with Tom Brady when so many other young guys have not been able to do so?
I'm not sure I have the answer. I can tell you how I approached every day, and that was to give it 110%, try to minimize mistakes, and show that I was dedicated to doing whatever it took to win.
I mean, it seems like he pretty much recognized that because trust is such a big thing. So when you did all that stuff, did he actually come up to you and, I guess, give you a pat on the back? Or how do you know you're doing a good job?
No, I would say the pat on the back philosophy isn't used much in football. But you can just tell based off of the confidence in the throws, how early he throws the ball, how often he throws you the ball, and just overall communication, little subtle things here and there.
So I think I remember him talking about at one point over the course of last year about, you know, when you get to the playoffs, you know, the guys that perform or the guys that you go to or the guys that you trust, you know, when you build that trust throughout the year. And obviously your performance in the Super Bowl, I'm just curious, going into that Atlanta Super Bowl, did you know you were maybe going to be that much involved, or was it just the way the game played out?
I had no clue. I mean, and if you look earlier in the game, I had one pass thrown to me in the first half, maybe two. And that season, I had been more of a subtle role player here and there. As I say, get in where I fit in. And it just happened to be in the second half of the game, the ball just went that way. But it was not planned.
I'm going to put him on hold, Tyler. Let's see if we can get a better phone line because we're getting half of the conversation.
You can tell he's really bright.
Yeah.
You know, he's really bright. And not saying that N'Keal Harry isn't, but there is a you can identify really quickly that he understands how it works. Like, and I hate to use the term he gets it, but sometimes that's all you need to say. And as coaches, you realize right away who gets it and who doesn't.
See, the one thing I think you can say about N'Keal Harry, because I don't know, we don't know how bright he is and what he's picking up and what he's not picking up, but he suffered an injury right away in camp, and then he missed most of the season. I would think that just the time missed there, Christian, puts him like light years behind. So okay, that's why it's a big year. That's why this is a big year for N'Keal Harry. You're going to find out this year.
I do cut him some slack. I mean, being a rookie in the NFL, playing the whole season in all of camp and playing in every game and not missing any practice, you still don't get it. It's still not enough, especially with a technician like Brady. So it really takes you to the second year. If you looked at it as a graph, it would be up and down, up and down, up and down, with a couple plateaus during a couple weeks and then a couple dips and low plateaus another couple weeks until you fight your way out of it, because you just don't have enough knowledge and experience to really understand.
And, the difference between these two, because it was pretty similar. If you look at, Malcolm's that year he had here, in his first eight games, he had seven catches. So, but N'Keal Harry wasn't even out there. He was hurt. He wasn't practicing. So even if seven catches in the first eight games, you would say he wasn't even involved there. He was basically one catch a game or some games with nothing. Two was his high. But then all of a sudden there, you're talking about whatever it is, week 10 against the Niners. From that point on, the rest of the season, he was getting, pretty much four a game. So it was, he was there the whole time working, and eventually that trust grew halfway through the season. He said, I see it every week. He keeps figuring it out in practice. Let's get him a little bit involved. N'Keal Harry never had that opportunity for the first 8 or 9 weeks.
He only played seven games, and he started five. Two of those games, the first two games, he hardly played, right?
Yeah, but those expectations come with the territory of being the first-round pick. I'm sorry to disappoint, those fans of N'Keal, but if you're a first-round pick, you're expected to come right in and contribute right away at a high level. That's why they waste those resources on you. That's why they trade up to get you. That's why they trade picks to move up to pick you. You got to play right away. So I think people forget about how unbelievably hard it is. It's not difficult. It's so hard to come in right away and be successful, because some guys get it early and some guys it's growing pains. But once they do get it, hell, I mean, it's like riding a bike. They never forget. And then you put him in this system with all these other guys, who are gone. It was just Edelman. There was no Gronk. There was nobody else. And people want you to be successful and hurry up and be good even quicker than you're ready. Then you throw in an injury, and you're never 100%. And you're always tentative, and you never guess right. And then they say, screw it, I'm not throwing it to you. And then your offensive coordinator says, no, throw it to him. We got to get him up to speed. And then you say, no, every time I throw it to him, it's an incomplete or it's an interception. So that's why you're at odds.
I want to play this Tom House comment. Tom House, former relief pitcher for the Red Sox, and he was also a quarterback guru. He's the guy that trains a lot of these guys. But listen to him in his conversation with Tom Brady.
I think the most fun text we've had is when Gronk signed. Tom texted me and said, football's fun again. The cool thing about dealing with these guys, they are just like you and me. They're big kids. They might be, you know, superstars, goats, the best ever. But they're big 12-year-olds.
So when the comment first came out, people thought of it as an indictment to Brady last year with the Patriots. The more you listen to it, it's after Gronk arrived, football is fun again. Is Brady not just talking about Gronk being there?
I don't know if I read it that way.
We got Malcolm on the line here. We'll address that after, no?
All right, let's go to Malcolm. Hey, Malcolm, can you hear us now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. By the way, you still writing children's books?
Yes, I have another coming out next spring.
What's it called?
It'll be titled My Very Favorite Book in the Whole Wide World.
Oh, okay. So it must be your book. So that's the actual title of the book. My favorite book of all time. It is the book that they're reading right now. What is it about?
Yeah. It's about a student who hates to read and goes on a journey of finding his favorite book.
So, Malcolm, that's interesting because I remember your story. Yeah. And you were not a great reader, if I remember correctly. And then this really got you back into reading, correct?
Literacy has played a tremendous role in my life. I started off as a reluctant reader, or striving reader is what they use in school today. Ironically enough, I think being literate is what allowed me to make the Patriots team, to be brutally honest with you. A lot of people ask how I was able to pick up the playbook so fast. I think it was because all the reading I was doing at the time, my brain was just functioning fast.
That's interesting. Because the repetition of it, because there, you know, when you're studying plays, it's so mundane and you're reading it, but you're not taking anything in. Did you have the ability to focus longer because you were basically had more stamina because you were reading so much?
I think that played a huge role in it. And not just reading stamina, but I was able to break down packages. Ironically enough, I didn't really remember plays. I remember formations and all the different options you can do within that formation. So based on where I was lined up, I knew here are my options. Based on what I've read and what I've understood and how the playbook functions. It's kind of like algebra. Once you find the formula, it's easy to plug and play.
That is exactly the way it works. I always feel like once you break the code, Malcolm, it's like Neo. Everything makes sense.
Exactly. That's exactly what allowed me to pick it up so fast. So instead of studying an individual route tree, I would just look at the entire system.
So I'm curious because I was looking, you know, basically the first 8-9 weeks, you know, I think 8 games, you had 7 catches. There was that second half of the year where it seemed to kind of click and you got a lot more involved in the offense. So was it just a week-to-week buildup and was it practices? Were you performing in practices? Were you just starting to figure it out? Did you feel like you were ready and obviously it showed and that's why you got more involved?
Well, it was definitely a process. From getting there during rookie minicamp all the way to that point where I started to get more playing time and more balls thrown my way, practice definitely played a tremendous role. And anybody who's played in that organization knows consistency is number one. So it's not just what you do from one day to the next, but what can you do over the course of a month or two. And if you can prove that you can handle that, then you'll be pretty well off from that point on.
You said earlier that you were kind of surprised that you were such a big focus in that game against Atlanta. It came in the fourth quarter when you guys were coming back. You had 5 catches, 4 of them for first downs. Was it more a matter of it was desperation time at that point that you suddenly became involved in the offense? You had no idea during the course of the week that you were going to be a big part of this?
No. I mean, I thought I'd play. but in what capacity? You just never know when you walk into a game. I wasn't in the position like Julian, you know, that star role. You know, he's definitely going to play a tremendous role in the game, regardless of how it goes. But I think for me, I think we got to a point of trial and error. We were trying things in the first half that didn't seem very successful, and the coaches changed up the way we'd attack their defense. And we found the outside to be the weak link eventually. We made a lot of great passes over the middle, but the outside was just, you go back and you watch that game, we started running stop routes, 12-yard stop routes, 25-yard stop routes, some outbreaking routes, and it started to click.
So do you remember the emotions you felt within that game, and at what point did you feel like, man, we actually got a shot at coming back here?
Oh, overtime. When it went to overtime and we got the ball.
But nothing before that?
No. I mean, the strip sack was huge. Yeah. That gave us a lot of confidence. But I think you're so focused in the moment, you're just worried about doing your job versus we want to win. And I know that sounds crazy, but I think we're so keen on not making a mistake because we borderline had to be perfect to come back and win that.
Yeah, you were. So I'm just curious, you know, very unfortunate, you know, it looked like it was going to be such a promising career, especially for a young wide receiver, and there weren't a lot of them, Malcolm, really. There aren't, the young receivers just don't make it. And you look like you kind of figured it out. So how difficult was it for you to decide to retire?
It was tough, and it's still tough today. I walked away from the game feeling like I was still talented enough to play, still feeling like I was educated enough to play and be successful. The only thing that I did not have going for me were a pair of good knees. And unfortunately, what was bothering me was not fixable. So I just have to live with that.
Malcolm, it was great catching up with you. Good luck with the new book out there, and stay safe.
All right, thank you.
Okay. See
you
later. Thanks, Malcolm.
That's Malcolm Mitchell, former New England Patriots wide receiver.
Smart dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting when he breaks down the reading element of it and how that paid off for him than understanding the playbook.
Well, do you understand that, like, that's what I mean by he gets it? That you can tell, yeah, right, just by talking to him. Now, yeah, imagine yourself during the draft process talking to receivers. You talk to all these other guys. You talk to him, you go, wait a second.
Yep.
This guy gets it. He, yep, understands its concepts. They're just play sequences. You don't need – everybody's got a corner. What does this mean? Like, so to be able to decipher that so quickly is really impressive.
All right, 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All brought to you by Shaw's Supermarket. Now through Thursday, July the 2nd, Shaw's Just For You members can pick up Coca-Cola 12-pack cans or AHA Sparkling Water 8-pack cans for only $4 for $9 when you activate the digital coupon. You must buy 4, and there's a limit of 4 per customer.
Well, guys, the NBA has announced today that 16 of the 302 players that did take a COVID-19 test have tested positive, as 16 of the 302 tested in the NBA. The NBA,
that's good. That's a good low number.
That is good.
Now let's go to the worst city in the United States for COVID-19. Let's go there. Let's what could go wrong, right?
Yeah. Officially today, the NBA and the Players Association have officially signed off on the terms to restart the season at Walt Disney World. The schedule will be announced tonight at 7 o'clock on ESPN. Will Gordon, your clubhouse leader at day 2 of the Travelers Championship in Cromwell, Connecticut. Gordon at 12 under par after an 8 under 62 today. The leader after round 1, Mackenzie Hughes, is only 2 strokes back right now, still on the front 9 in his round number two. And finally, NFLPA President DeMarie Smith has responded to Tom Brady and the Bucs holding private workouts, saying, quote, "Those practices are not in the best interest of players' safety. They're not in the best interest of protecting our players heading into training camp, and I don't think that they're in the best interest of us getting through an entire NFL season." Come Those on, are the words of NFLPA Tom. President DeMarie Smith.
Get with the program, Brady.
I'm Tyler Devin. That's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're not going to use our clubhouse, for example. The guidelines call for socially distancing to happen in our clubhouse. It's not meant for socially distancing, and so we're going to pull the guys out of there and have them upstairs in suites to sort of spread out from each other, at least to get started. We're going to have our batting cage, which is right under the clubhouse. We're going to have that pulled out and up in the concourse. And so Fenway presents a very unique challenge for us.
That was Sam Kennedy yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before with Dale and Keith? And it's unbelievable. No dugout. We're going to literally use the luxury suites. So this is Buster only about 2 hours ago. There is growing concern within a lot of corners of baseball about executing an effective health and safety protocol in the timeline prescribed by the PA and MLB agreement. As you might expect, so many complications, some foreseen and some not. So what the hell does that mean? If they can't do it in the timeline, are we going to delay beyond July the 24th? Can't do that.
To me, that timeline is about getting people back in the country, visas, testing, and getting everybody in the field next Wednesday, correct?
Yes.
Like next Wednesday. So that, to me, that's the concern there with the timeline. What Sam Kennedy is talking about, first off, you take the batting cage from out underneath the dugout and you put it in the concourse. That's going to be a lot of fun if they have fans at the stadium.
They're not having fans. No, I don't they're not. Buy that.
No, but I don't understand it. You know, like when you always take everything. So he says, okay, we're going to put the players up in the luxury boxes. Okay, let's go through that. So you pull in, you jump on an elevator because there's also the back end of the elevator is right at the parking lot, kind of. So
one at a time. Now
you go up five flights on the elevator. You walk down. What do I get? Do I get L11, L10? What do you get? You get R4. Okay. And then you're in there by yourself, and you're getting ready to get dressed. And is there two guys to a luxury? Then what? So what happened? Are you up there for games? Like, is that your locker?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Oh my
so when
God.
The game is over, you go up to your locker in a suite, and then what? Wrap a towel around yourself, walk out in the concourse, go down an elevator. You can shower, and then jump in an elevator and a towel to come up back up to your room.
Are there luxury boxes that actually have showers in them?
No.
I've never seen one that has a shower in it.
No, yeah, it's just that's a weird dilemma.
Attach a hose to the sink.
But, I mean, you know, I mean, one of the great things, you're a player, you walk in the clubhouse, and you know, it's one thing to say, okay, we got to be 6 feet away from each other, but it's nice to, even if that's the case, you can see somebody, and you can have conversations, you can hang out. Like, you're just going to go in your suite? So you hang out at like 2:30 till 4:30. What do we?
So we all know what's going to happen. So they start these games. Let's say on the 24th of July, they start on time, and they broadcast these games. And we're going to have this long list of health and safety protocol that they must adhere to. You know, you can't put your fingers to your lips, to your mouth. You can't have the any seeds. You can't have chewing. You can't have all this stuff. And you know what's going to happen. People are going to watch it on TV, and what are they going to do? They're going to point out violations. Oh, my God, look what he just did. Oh, he's closer than 6 feet. Look what he – that's what people are going to do,
well, that stuff's not
going
to be – I mean, it says the only contact allowed in the field is tag plays and other incidental contact that occurs during a play. So it's not like you're going to have guys sliding in and, oh, that's contact. No, that's the game. That's going to happen. But there are some other things – So baseball used during batting practice going to be disinfected, taken out of circulation for at least 5 days. So you need a rotation of 5 buckets of balls, because you use them one day, you can't use them for 5 more days. So this is a good one, too.
Do you think they're going to be diligent with that, Lou? You tell me. You've been out there and done this before. Do you really believe they're going to sit there and say, okay, this was batting practice? No, this wasn't.
Well, the only shot they have is, to be honest with you, like in big league batting practice, I mean, they use pearls. They rip through balls. Yeah. Left and right. I mean, they might use them for a day in both teams and then ship them out locally to somebody, whatever. But
0-1 pitch.
They'll rip through balls. I don't have a problem with that one. Players to retrieve their own cap and glove at the end of an inning, they're on base. Teammate cannot bring them out. So you're a man second base, strike three to end the inning. You know, normally the other outfielder comes, brings your hat, brings your glove, and says, go to center. Now you got to come in and grab your stuff. But the one I don't get, because we had questions on, hitters have to have their own personal pine tar rag, bat weight, and other hitting equipment. Nothing is shared. Remember we're talking about the donuts?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the pine tar, you know, the stick or the rag, whatever you might use on deck. Everyone's assigned their own.
Like, well, it's kind of like us with our mic flags now. We each have our own mic, a little mic sock, and we have our own little cubby hole to put it in so it stays protected and safe. I don't see that being that big of a deal. I would actually prefer that. I have my little rag. I have my little donut. You get your own. I'm going to
cut. No, I mean, it's funny because I'm thinking through it. It's like, okay, I'm in the hole or whatever, and I'm like, okay, I got to go over to the helmet rack, grab my helmet. I got to grab my bat. I got to grab my donut. I got to grab my pine tar rag. Like, are
sure.
They all going to be lined up, the kind of the rags and the donuts? Like, this is yours, number 26. This is yours, number 50, or whatever it is. Like, and then you bring your stuff up. So what happens if you break a bat? Because there's no bat boys.
That was my next question.
You have to go in the dugout and get
it. So the bat boy is gone.
No, so yeah. I have to, if I break my bat, I'm like, damn, I think I broke it. I look over. The bat boys usually carry your extra bat. They sit right on deck. So they always have two bats, your bat, and they always have your extra bat in case you break one. Now, there's no bat boy. So if I break a bat in the middle of my at-bat, I got to go back to my dugout because nobody else can grab my bat and hand it to me because that would be like instant COVID, right? So I got to go into the bat rack, walk back into the bat rack, grab my bat, and step back in the box.
The pace of play is going to be brutal.
It's going to slow the game down even more. But the other one, too, is that players are going to have to be self-sufficient to do all of this stuff. They're going to have to take their own bats out to the dugout. You're going to have to do all this stuff, correct?
You're probably going to. I mean, no, but you're going to. Well, I'd bring two of my bats out on deck, and I'd leave one up against it. But you can't because it's in play.
Right.
So that's why the ball boy holds it, and if the ball goes over there, past ball, he kind of runs out. He's holding on to bats and tries to move the pine tar and everything else. But they don't have that. Then you've got each guy's got their own personal rosin bag. They run in from the bullpen. They get their own rosin bag. Like, it's so strange, and it's a unique sport. Like, you compare it to, say, hockey. The only thing hockey's got to worry about is extending a bench, right? They don't even touch the puck with their hands.
Yeah.
I mean, they got gloves on.
Yep.
They got the stick.
Yep.
You know, they got to worry about contact and everything else. They got shields, most of them, face guards.
Yep.
So it's like it's very simple for them.
Well, it's also a self-sufficient game. I mean, those guys, you know, they work their own skates. They sharpen them, the blades themselves. They do all the stuff by themselves, tape up the sticks and all that other stuff. baseball is a lot different. I tell you, when you start reading some of this stuff and all of the different safety and health protocol, this is not going to be easy to pull off. I know, Christian, you keep on thinking this is going to be easy. And early on, just out of instinct, you tell me, Lou, you played the game. You just do everything on instinct every single day, right? Now you're going to have to start thinking, oh my God, where's my donut?
Oh my God. They're going to start thinking. I think initially, I think there'll be a little shock to, well, I actually have to do everything by myself.
Yeah,
I don't have people waiting on me and just catering to my every desire and need. I mean, I got to carry my own bat back. To me, this is what baseball needs. You need to kind of give them a little bit of humble pie, make them earn it, make them feel like they're back in Little League when the game was fun and nobody was caring about money. And let's do that. I am interested, yes, and there is going to be a bunch of mistakes. Of course there's going to be. I just wish people wouldn't just jump ugly on them just because someone literally forgot and just left. Oh, you know what? My bad. I brought your hat and your glove out. Sorry. Dude, I'm going to go bring it back.
Well, I tell you right now, the first pitcher that takes the mound is going to lick his fingers. Because it's just
accustomed to doing
it. It's going to happen. Yeah. And you're not supposed to. Everyone's supposed to carry a wet rag in their back pocket for that.
Get him out.
To try to get a grip. But it's just, you can't break a 20-year habit for some of these guys. You can't do it.
Well, I agree with that, but I'm still so intrigued by it. I can't wait for it to happen. I can't wait to see how they manage it. How many do players bitch? Like, to our point, okay, so the locker room. So I got to go up here, then I got to go down here, and then you don't want me to shower here? You want me to leave? What do I do, just go in my spikes? Is that what I'm doing? Hey, what about if Fenway Park, there's somebody parks the cars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to do that now? Because I guess you don't want somebody parking your car.
No.
I also guess you'll have a ton of room to park, so you won't need to park in that underground area where they stuff all those cars in there, right?
No, you can park where they got a parking lot. You can park underneath because there's no fans walking around.
Yeah, so you can park in the concourse.
Like, avoid the cage.
Yeah. So, yeah, avoid the cage sitting in the middle of the concourse. I think this is – listen, is it going to be odd? Sure. But, man, who cares? I don't know why I'm so optimistic about this and how – I don't know why I'm so excited about it, but – because nobody's told me to be excited about it. Like, nobody's recommended that I get excited about it. I just naturally have. Isn't that weird? I have my own emotions, and I can
my
think
only
for
thing
myself.
Is like, I just want them – that when they play the game for it to look like it did – Or better. You know what I mean? Fast, whatever. But still, the locker room stuff is interesting to me. I'm trying to envision how it works up in the suites. I got hiccups all of a sudden. How does that work?
Put a bag over here.
No, but how does that work? You're up there in your suite and, I don't know, is that your locker? Like, game's over? You're all by yourself?
But you're not
You're
going
isolated?
Up.
Like, what? Can I go in the other guy's box?
Well, Lou, you tell me, are you going to sit there and wait for the elevator to come down? No, you're going to go into the stands and you're going to run down with your cleats down the steps, aren't you? And then you're going to jump over the little partition there in front of the dugout.
From the luxury level, you can't get to the seats.
From the luxury level, you can go down one level. If you get down one level from the luxury, you can get into the seats.
Yeah. So you got to walk out there, spikes on, down the steps.
Yeah.
Through the stands, down the ramp.
Down
the ramp,
down
the stands.
One ramp thing and then go down.
But where
there.
You park, you got to take the elevator up. I just think that whole dynamic, I don't know. Maybe that's just for the spring training kind of atmosphere. When the games, while they try to rearrange locker rooms and clubhouses and figure out how they can make it work. But I don't know. The luxury thing's blowing my mind.
So go back to what you said, Christian, about guys bitching. Of course they're going to bitch about it. Now, they may be, you know, careful of what they say in public.
Yep.
Maybe they're not like Tom Brady and they're not just going to, you know, flaunt it and say, you know, here's the middle finger. But guys are going to complain because they're not accustomed to doing this. They're big league ball players. And this is taking you back in time when you used to, you know, ride the buses into minor leagues.
Yeah.
It's a much different setup.
Let me give you a little correction on the bat boy situation. Because in looking at it again, it says no bat boys or girls. Or, you know, whatever, ball girls. But it says their duties will be handled by team personnel. So, I don't know, what's the difference? Like, a team personnel is still going to be the bat boy, right?
Well, the bat boy is not in quarantine or a supposed to be in quarantine like a team personnel member would be.
So, but I'm just
saying, have no idea where the bat boy is coming from, like what he's done all day.
At the big league level, like, they don't have, like, little Jimmy won a contest and he's bat boy for a day. You know what I mean? Like, they have actually, the Fenway bat boy is like a grown man. You know, he works for the team, so I guess he could still be that guy.
Just make Sam Kennedy do it.
Because people bring up points. Yeah, it's like, you know, hey, when I'm on deck or something, I got my pine tar rag in my barrel, and when I go up to hit, I leave it on deck, right?
Hey, Chaim, can you grab that and gets for me? Chaim, grab that. Get that thing. Get that towel.
So I think it says team personnel. So I think that's what they'll probably have is like somebody that is involved in this quarantine. You know, and as far as the Red Sox go, they have a guy that's a bat boy anyway. So he'll still be able to do the same thing, I think. But no kid out of, say, quarantine type of thing, right? It's not going to be like a contest winner.
Yeah, but none of these guys are really in quarantine because when the games are over, home games, they go home, right?
No, yeah, but you know what I mean. Like, you know, they're not going to sit there and say, yeah, today it's like, you know, little Jimmy from Brookline, he's 14 years old, he's today's bat boy, and tomorrow it's going to be Joey from Worcester. And then, you know, whatever. They're not going to have that. They're going to have somebody on the team that is, you know, responsible, that's going to be wearing probably gloves and a mask sitting there as you doing the actions of a ball boy.
So what are they doing with the media since you're part of the broadcast crew? Do you have any idea what they're doing to the media?
For the media, I think no. I think everything might be at Fenway Park. Nothing is etched in stone. But
the broadcasts are going to be out of Fenway.
Home and away.
Well,
home and
away. It's always great to have you here, Lou.
But we'd still be up in the booth.
What happens?
Joe might be in another one. Who knows?
Okay, makes sense. Because we need to. Because you don't have 6 feet inside that broadcast.
I did see
booth.
Like print media. I think they'd be allowed, but no interaction with players. So I would question why.
Could Pete bother? Could Pete Abraham be one of those ball boys?
Like you know, you got the media room up top. You know, and I don't know, is it every third, fourth seat if you want to come to the game? But I would say if you're coming to the game to just watch it live and there's no interaction with the manager, no interaction with the players, none of that, why even bother?
Oh, this is going to kill Bradfoe. Can't interact with the players?
So I guess there's this, so who's picking up the tee in the football games in an NFL football game? They usually have some kid run out and pick up the tee.
I'm guessing it's probably a member of the team, like a
Roger Goodell.
Yeah, like a personnel guy. Or like, you know, I don't know.
You're right, Christian.
Alex Guerrero.
It's going to be so strange. I don't know how anybody will not, at least out of curiosity, out of the gate, won't want to watch what's going on with any of this stuff. And it's going to look so different, isn't it? It really is going to look different. And if people keep on saying, well, you can add sound and whatever like they do with soccer. Soccer's different. Soccer's background noise is like a hum. It's just, you know, the crowd and it's a hum.
Yeah,
it's not reacting to a lot of things. In these sports, it's all about instant reaction to something that happens, to a play, to an at-bat, to a swing, to a strikeout, a third called strike or whatever. How do you create all that?
Well, we have a producer, and he's got a bunch of buttons in front of him and a little sound mixer and all that other stuff, and he, in real time, is dropping sound and creating cuts and implementing them into the show. You're welcome. Thank you.
That was fun.
Thank you. See, here's the thing. I don't think it's that difficult. I don't. I think everyone goes, how are they going to do this? How are they going to do that? I think they can do it. I mean, is it going to be corny? It's going to be weird. Yeah, it's going to be corny. But, hell, so are teddy bears in the stadium. Like they do
I think
out
that's,
Japan.
That's pretty stupid. But you know what they're going to do with sports. They're going to put advertisement in the first few rows. Advertisement. Not a bad idea. They're going to create more revenue right now.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a lot of that stuff.
And do the players get some of that revenue?
No.
In baseball?
Oh, now that we've worked out our financial agreement, everything else is ours.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. We're going to sell so well everything. I wouldn't be surprised if they have a bunch of those holograms and, you know, you see a life-size Coke just, you know, invade the stadium, kind of like Godzilla does, and but it's a Coke.
So you would agree with me that soccer is not a good test for these other sports, right?
No, I was watching effects. It on TV. They digitally enhanced the stadium where they just incorporated these blue cards and red cards and then they added sound. It was easy.
But my point is
they could do the same thing.
Not the horn thing. So, but that's what soccer sounds like because soccer just has that hum over it. But these other sports are going to have something much different, instantaneous sound effects or whatever. I agree with you. It might be extremely corny. And yet, maybe it's, you know, it's a decent substitution.
Yeah, but, I mean, baseball, there's like, you know, you've got that we got that mic kind of just outside the window, right? If the windows are closed, so you can hear a little bit of the buzz, right, in the stadium, just a little bit. So I would think you'd be able to still put that in.
Yes, that would be easy to put in. That's like the soccer thing we're talking about, the background. It is what happens when you have individual plays, home run. swing. Wow, you know. And when you hear Joe make that call, and yet the audience,
the crowd's not going,
is not going there. Yeah. Right. So you'd have to.
What I'm
going to
really
out.
Like,
you
is,
need good timing to do.
A lot of the TVs, they do have, and you pick up on it sometimes, like microphones right at home plate.
Oh God damn it!
Well, I don't think Brock liked that call at all.
So now,
see,
I would like that. Now
move.
Imagine they, that with,
I would
with,
like that
with no buzz behind it.
I'll
it's
take
just,
that.
That's all you're going to hear.
There's
Can
no
we
way.
Get some of that?
There's no way that sports is going to allow that, because it's going to open up the curtain and reveal what's behind it, and you're going to hear players saying stuff they don't want said. I would love that.
They want mic on players to enhance, you know,
I would
to
love
enhance
it.
The game. Why not just leave that hot mic at home plate? Let's hear.
I'll tell you next at bat.
I want more of that.
Yeah. All right, let's get into more of that, because I think that one is a fascinating one, because to me, that would be the best alternative. I don't want a lot of this fake sound of the crowd and whatever. It's going to be fake. It's like when you're watching a you know, TV comedy and they put a fake crowd laughing or whatever, a laugh track. It's awful. But how about miking up the players so we get something we never heard before? All of that, plus we'll take a shot at the mystery guest coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, that'll work. Be funky. You know what I'm saying?
All right, back here on OMF, we were talking when we last left you about fake crowd noise at these sporting events. They're going to have to do something. We've heard what they have done in soccer. So some people have been texting and tweeting out there that the teams are already starting to sell for $100 a cutout. So you can go get a cutout of you and be placed in the stadium or in the ballpark. Well, that makes some sense because it's another revenue stream. The player's going to get any of that, Lou?
No.
Maybe not? No. Probably
not. No,
they
already worked out their deal. Shut up.
Yeah. And if I'm a player, I don't want them miking me up unless I'm getting some of the cash from the network. Too much could go wrong. Think of the things that could go wrong if you're a player and you just say the wrong thing in this day and age.
Well, yeah. I mean, of course. I mean, even if it's not the wrong thing, maybe it's just something embarrassing, like, I'm seeing ghosts out there. I see ghosts. And
yeah.
Then sure, next thing you know, I mean, you're Sam Darnold, and people are mocking the hell out of you because, you know, you couldn't figure out the blitz. And then in an honest moment with yourself, when you're talking to yourself on the sideline, they grab it and play it, and people are just mocking you and laughing at you.
But just think of how much you would hear if the guys were mic'd up out there and you've got no crowd noise. Because if you're in the stands and you've got no crowd noise, you will hear those players talking.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine if they put microphones anywhere near the players. But I would love it. Matter of fact, I would love it if we had an alternate channel for football. I'd pay extra.
Well, you know what it is? It's usually, I mean, you've seen it before in football. They're like, you know, let's check our on-mic moment. And they go back, you know, to Russell Wilson on the sidelines, you know, a few minutes ago. I think that's how they would do it. You know,
yeah, but,
I don't know. I mean, I know in spring training they actually had the broadcast talking to the outfielders.
And it was good.
During a game. I don't see that happening during a regular season game.
No.
Yeah, but even then, I would say, okay, yeah, they'll be safe. And then sure enough, Sam Darnold will get embarrassed. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just feel like what Major League Baseball is doing, they're also actually stealing an idea. This has already been done. And for some of these soccer and some of these baseball leagues where they have cutouts of all these random people, And it's funny. You can make a crazy face. You can make an exciting face. You can, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter.
They're charging people for those. Yeah. That's what they're doing. They're going to make money on it.
You know, honestly, my biggest fear with baseball coming back might come in the next, you know, week or so, 4, 5, 6 days, whenever they test. 1,800 athletes are about to be tested for COVID. 1,800. So we saw the NBA, that number was 5%, right? 302 tests, 16 came back positive. So 5%, okay, 90 people. 1,800 people being tested. What happens if 150 people are tested positive?
Then 150 people test positive and they move on.
No, I would sit there and say, okay, fine.
Yeah, but you got to move on.
But that's not me. I'm talking about what is going to be the reaction when 100 people are tested positive.
You know what optics
And we look at it and say, well, that's still only about 6% or whatever it might be. But no, it's 100 people. Oh, my God. What are they doing? Why are they going about this thing? Stop it. Delay it one more week. You know, delay it one more week. Now, 1,800. Are we prepared next week when 1,800 people are tested? Are we prepared to deal with the positive cases? Can we mentally deal with that?
You better ask.
I'm not so sure some people can.
No, I think we said this right from the get-go. That there are going to be guys who are going to test positive. They are young, they're in great shape, and it probably is not going to be in any way a threat on their health, or certainly they're not going to die. And yet, the question is, what will the public say? Because I've already seen it. Every time you reveal another name, another person who's tested positive, people freak out. What happens in the NBA when one of the major stars in that game test positive? LeBron tests positive next week. You want to hear what you're going to get? Let's shut down the league.
I go back to in baseball, you already have a 3-week spring training, right? 3 weeks of spring training. So I don't know why guys aren't being tested right now. Why are we gonna wait till next week? And so the Red Sox have Eddie Rodriguez is tested positive.
Oh.
Spring training's 3 weeks.
Yeah, you're getting off to a slow start if that's the case.
No, there's no spring training for him. It's 14 days of quarantine.
Ooh, that's
and then point. And then you come back after a week and start playing catch. And you know baseball, that he's going to start at 5 feet. He's going to play catch 20 throws from 5 feet. And then next week he'll go 20 throws from 30 feet. And then, you know, then we might let him get on the mound, flat ground, then bullpen, then live BP. Like, and the season's only 60 games.
Yeah.
So why are they waiting till next week? Why don't they just test everybody right now?
See, that's an excellent point. Because if you lose him, though, Christian, if you lose Eddie Rodriguez for
anybody
for 2 weeks during spring training, except that he's probably your number one pitcher right now, okay?
Well,
he's erased. If you lose him for those 2 weeks, he is going to come back so late into the process, you may be already out of this thing mathematically.
Well, the problem is that if you test them right now, then, okay, you test them now, and they're at home. And then, okay, now stay at home. Don't go anywhere. And then, okay, so then you bring them into wherever you're going, and then you don't test them. Well, how do you know what he's been doing for the last 6 days before he showed up? You already tested
him. All I'm saying is, like, you know,
they should have backed it up. They should have made it 4 weeks so they can test these guys, and then so they show up like colleges should have done. Hey, you show up on Monday. We're going to test you. You can't do anything. You got to stay inside this area for the next 7 days. Then we're starting camp.
But okay, so the NBA tested 302 people, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the teams are going down to Orlando July 7th, 8th, and 9th. So the baseball starting July 1st, and they haven't tested people yet. That's an extra week.
Yeah, but the point you brought up about missing spring training, so Eddie Rodriguez could effectively miss all of spring training. Then he's 3 weeks behind.
Can.
Right. Anybody can. We're just bringing him up as an example.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, if you're going to start July 1st, start your testing program 10 days before it.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think you'd really be
maybe you lose a guy for the first 3 or 4 days.
Especially if you lose your number one pitcher. All right, it's time for us to take a couple shots and see if we can guess today's mystery guest.
Who can it be now? Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can it be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
Okay, Tyler, can you please ask the mystery guest to start singing?
I think that's just Kay's job.
Just suggest it. Let's see what happens.
We can always get Kay Adams again.
Yeah, we should. We should. Oh, yeah, you're in love. All right, you know how it works. Got a bunch of guests, yes, no answers.
One bite.
After this. Are we still at 2 minutes?
2 minutes?
No, we can do three. We can do three.
All right, we'll go three. So we're not up against.
Well,
so we'll do three.
We'll see if we
Why
need
we back
it.
To three now?
Well, you were late transitioning yesterday, so I trimmed it to two.
Oh, and we still got your
executive
so take
decision.
That.
All right. Yeah. All right, so go ahead. Yeah. Give us the hint.
Short and sweet hint today for your mystery guest, radio and TV host. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Locally?
No.
Nationally. National host.
Former athlete?
Former, I was, yeah.
Not a former athlete.
ESPN?
No. Correct.
Okay.
Wow, you went straight to the mothership, didn't you?
Cover a specific sport.
Yes.
Football?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a man?
Yes.
Okay. Is he known more for radio or TV?
Now radio.
That's not your yes or no, but thank you.
You're welcome.
Wait, say that again. He's known what?
See how I got him?
He
I got him.
Fixed his
yeah, I know.
Radio,
you got
radio
him.
For TV.
He wasn't paying attention.
Known more for so. Is he currently doing both?
More radio than TV. This is not a yes or no. You're doing it again.
No, is he? Oh, you just say yes.
Boy, you are.
Good job, you're
pushing. Right,
thank you. More radio. Okay. More radio now, less TV. Correct.
Does he do a daily radio show on ESPN?
He does.
There you go. Okay.
Okay. Is he? But he's not a former. He's not a former athlete.
Not a former athlete.
Is the show in the morning?
It is.
Is he white?
He is.
Is he tall?
Once you throw the Italian one up.
I don't think he's all that tall.
Does he like short, round Italian men?
Not sure what that question is.
I wasn't sure.
Is he the host of the show in the morning?
He is.
And the show's on radio, though.
It is on radio.
Not TV.
Not on TV. Oh, I think it's on, like, maybe ESPN News.
Yeah, I think I know.
Again,
I think
yes
I
or
know
no answers. You're getting killed on this.
I know. I'm walking up and down him right now.
Yeah, I know. I know you're just rubbing it in. Yeah. So it's
1 minute left.
Okay. Well, I don't think we
does
need
his,
anymore.
Does his last name rhyme with bingo?
Hey. Hey, you're right.
Okay, got him.
Got it.
We don't need it the other time left.
Nope.
No, and you really should take a breath right now. I feel like you just got kicked in the ding-ding like multiple times by Lou.
That's
really
my 2 minutes.
That's really my goal is to just try to see if I can get him not to answer yes or no.
Listen, really, he's from Jacksonville. Don't make fun of him.
This hour has been brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, now opening in Salem, New Hampshire, and Dedham, right next door to Legacy Place. We meet today's mystery guest next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.